I have to tell you, I struggled with this sermon this week. This is actually the third iteration of what I thought that I was supposed to do. Sometimes a sermon will just flow and you know that it's right, and then other times you have to struggle with it. The reason that I had to go through three of it, because there was a struggle within me. I do use AI not to write the sermon, but to check and to give me some flow, but the tool that I use forces me, before it will give me anything, to make sure that I engage the scripture and that the scripture is working in me. And as it did this week, it forced the scripture to work me over really good. Because I've been feeling a little bit listless lately. I know some of it is fatigue and change of seasons always gets me. It's that feeling that you have like the next few days after your time zone changing. You know what I mean? You don't know what's wrong, but you know that something's wrong. And it put me in a mood where I was looking back and, you know, because I'm getting up in age and I'm thinking what is coming, when is retirement and if and what does it look like, etc. And that forced to look back as well. And unfortunately, with the mood that I was in as I looked back, if I illustrate that looking back, I see a path that God has created for me to walk and that I have walked in, that at that particular moment, the most that I saw were little tufts of dust. Little tufts of dust where I've slipped, where I've tripped, where I've been face down in the dust. Not the glorious victories that I had hoped when I was young. It's not the first time I've been there, but because God has been faithful in the chapter behind me, and when I remembered that God has been faithful in the chapter behind me, I know that I can trust Him with the chapters that still have to be written, whatever they look like. And I trust that it is the same for you. We as sinful human beings tend to recognize the sinfulness very quickly. When we look back at the path where we've been, I can see where I've fallen more than I've been glorious. And it's easy for me to dwell there instead of do what Peter has experienced. So as I prepared this message, I found myself reflecting on God's faithfulness over many years. Struggles are still there. Some of them still bring some pain. Some of them still try to scream at me, "Your walk has been in vain. You have been ineffective." All of those things. But then I'm reminded once again by the Spirit, it's not about me, it's about Christ and Him writing His story on me. We just sang, "If more of you is less of me, then take everything." Because I don't want anything in the picture that detracts from you. Because God is not finished yet. The story has not been written. So I had two questions come into my mind as I was praying. Actually, you know what AI told me to do? It said, "You go home and you pray about this and you listen to the Lord and then you come back and talk to me tomorrow." Have you ever been scolded by AI? But you know, God is the God of everything. And that was a word of wisdom. And as I prayed that night, and as I listened, I heard these questions come into my mind. As I looked back at that dust trail, the question came in, "Have you really been hard done by?" Isn't my yoke easy and my burden light? Haven't you been blessed along the way? What was that lyric that we sang? You know, mercy and goodness is running after me. Yeah, you saw the tufts of your footfall, but what about the goodness and mercy? Double. running after you. Did you see the dust from that? And when I honestly look back and answer the question, have I really been hard done by? The answer is a hearty and full-throated no. Because now, following Christ has not always been easy. It's not promised that it's going to be easy. It's not been without pain. It's not been always something that I would deem successful. But He has been faithful every single time. I can agree with Polycarp, who was on his way to be executed because of his Christianity. And he said, I have known Him for 70-some-odd years, and He has always been faithful to me. Why would I deny Him now? So when we get our eyes off of ourselves and see the goodness of God, then we can truly answer, yes, He is good, and He has not finished with me yet. Second question. When you signed up for this, this being commitment to Christ, this being mission for His sake, this being stepping out and taking risks, the Spirit asks, when you signed up for this, didn't you say, no matter what? I hate it when the Spirit uses my own words against me. No, I don't. Not really. Because He does it in such a gentle and loving way that God restores us and will use our words against us upon occasion. Didn't you commit to? Didn't you say you would? Didn't you believe? And again, I look back and I say, yeah, I said that, and yes, I mean it. I mean it again. It's kind of like an anniversary. You know, you look back and you say, I said I do. But I want to tell you today, I still do. Because You're good for me. The answer was yes, and that reflection led me this week to Acts 1. Because Acts 1 is full of unfinished things. Did you hear it? The disciples are together. Now, one thing is finished, and that is that Jesus is alive. Jesus, can I say it again? Jesus is alive. You know, one thing is finished. They don't have to worry about Jesus dying again. One thing is finished is that He is the King of Israel. They already know that because they said, is this the time you're establishing that kingdom? He already established the kingdom with His resurrection by giving us freedom over sin and death. That was our biggest enemy. And it was the most insidious enemy because we knew we died, but we didn't realize it was our greatest enemy. Because it separated us from God, not only now, but for an eternity. It had that power. And Jesus brought that salvation. I'll come back to that salvation in just a moment. But my answer was yes. But here's what the disciples are doing. The disciples in this chapter are waiting. The Spirit has not yet come in power. The mission has not yet begun. Peter has not yet preached. And the nations have not yet heard. That's a lot of waiting, isn't it? That's a lot of middle ground. And we can find ourselves there too. In fact, I find comfort in the fact that I look back and I say, my vision of myself with a little tufts of dust, that was a vision for the middle ground, not for the future ground, because God is not finished yet. He's not finished yet. Now, let me tell you, it's good sometimes to look back, because we learn from our mistakes and we can learn what's there. But the Christian life is not about forgetting the past. We have rituals. We have the Lord's table, which the Lord said, remember me when you eat this. Remember that I am coming back. We celebrate Maundy Thursday, which comes off of a Passover meal, which is Israel's great communion, if you will. We were brought through the water. We were saved by God's miraculous hand, and we remember. So we do need to do some remembering, and Scripture repeatedly calls God's people to remember, but not necessarily the way that we remember. I can acknowledge the tufts of dust and where I've fallen, as long as I also remember it's God's goodness walking alongside me at the same time. That it's His triumph even through my failures. And therefore I can have confidence. We remember His works. We remember His provision. We remember His faithfulness. He is so faithful. We can see countless things of God's provision. Those moments of provision, like for me and my family, I went into ministry right out of high school, didn't have a degree. I spent 21 years. I looked back, I found some of my own old tax returns when I was with the ministry. You want to know the most that I made in 1 year? $6,000. Meanwhile, my peers are off going to college, getting jobs, getting married, having families, and look like they're racing ahead. But after coming out of the ministry, I still stayed in ministry. It just happened to be one where I could make some money as well. And I look at my retirement account, and it tells me that I am ahead of 93% of my peers. Oh, some of them are doing really bad, I'm telling you. You get what I'm saying, right? That when we follow the way of the Lord, the provision is there, and He can jump you ahead farther than what you think that you should be. Now, I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about provision. I'm blessed to have a home. It was a miracle when we were able to buy our first home. That was the one we owned just before this one. I am privileged to have traveled the world, and people have saved to do that late in life. But He has provided through that travel relationships everywhere. I've told you, and I don't think some of you believe me, that I was a shy, retiring, reclusive boy. And I would not stand up in front of a class. I think it was even just shop class. I would not stand up in front of a class and read a paragraph from a newspaper. I would rather flunk the class than do that. And what has He made of me today? Positive. He has turned me from a man who could not speak to a man who can. I relate to Peter so much. This Peter that is in this section is the one that when he got caught in the courtyard after Christ had been arrested, a teenage girl put him to flee. Hey, aren't you one of them? Oh, I swear I'm not. And you use some verbiage that I don't want to use. And then she came back. Are you sure? You're dressed like a Galilean? You talk like a... I think this guy was with him. And then he explodes. He can't even stand up to the witness for Christ with a teenage girl. But as he waits for the promise, and as this promise comes, he comes up and stands up and preaches Christ to the whole city and to all of the authorities and everyone in the temple, saying this is what was completed in the prophecy of Joel, that the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. He was not just informed, He was transformed. And if I look back on that road, I can see multiple ways where I have been transformed and freed of my fears. So as we reflect on God's faithfulness, we discover an important truth. The reason Peter could trust God with the future was because Jesus had already been faithful in the past. And it's the same for me, and it's the same for you. So if you look back at what has happened, but also look back for what he has entrusted you with, what he has done for you. But I want to make sure that you realize that this infilling of the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of talk amongst the churches, and some say this has to happen for you to be a Christian, and others say no, that's when it happened here, and you know, etc. One thing to make clear, for the filling of the Holy Spirit and coming to salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all of it is Spirit driven. No, don't stop. That might be the Spirit. We want to listen if that happens. I am completely interruptible, especially if it's the Spirit thing. But wherever we are, whether it's at salvation, even the desire to come to salvation is Spirit-driven. You may not have known it, and some people get confused, and they say, well, you know, I just decided in my heart that I needed Jesus. Your heart's not going to change without any impetus. And that impetus was the Spirit of God. Now, in the chapter just before Acts 1, in John chapter 21, Jesus, on the day of resurrection, appears to his disciples. And he says, touch the wounds. He says that to all the disciples, not just to Thomas. But he says, touch my wounds, see I am alive. And in that session, he breathes on them and he says these words, receive the Holy Spirit. Did they or didn't they? Yeah, they did, didn't they? These disciples of his received the Holy Spirit upon believing that he was raised from the dead. They believed. Were they Christian? Apart from Judas, can we ever point at any one of them and say they were not Christian? Of course they were, because the Spirit leads us to believe in a resurrected Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you for sending Christ so we can be saved. But thank you that you give us your Spirit so we can believe. But you know what? Those disciples that he met with on that day are the ones that are waiting for the promise. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit again. But this time they're waiting for him to come in power. In power, so they are empowered. And honestly, I've had some people say, well, I think that those gifts are for, you know, the early church. I don't think that they are available for today. And, you know, these are preachers, and I'm thinking, then what are you doing standing in the pulpit? What can we do without the aid of the Holy Spirit? How can we be transformed to stand in front of people without the Holy Spirit? How can we do anything spiritual without the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit is not active today, then I'm a fake, and we might as well give it all up. Honestly, the problem is some people are fakes. You know, they see what the Holy Spirit has done, and they want that too. They're like Simon in Samaria, that when Philip had gone and preached the word, people were believing, so he went back to Jerusalem. Listen to this. He went back to Jerusalem to get the couple of apostles who could come and give the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon them. Simon, who was a sorcerer there, said, hey, I want that too. How much? You see the faker in it? The one that the charlatan that's in it for money instead of transformation. So don't be discouraged by the charlatans that are there. They will always be there. But seek after the authentic empowering of the Holy Spirit. Because let me tell you this, we read this and we see the story and we get caught up in the sensational thing that happened. The speaking in tongues and the Holy Spirit coming and the sound of the great wind that happened, and we get all wrapped up in that. But at Pentecost, it's not about all the sensationalism, it's about the transformation of people. The transformation of people and their availability. This was a room of unfinished people, not a room full of spiritual giants. It's a room full of waiting disciples. They're still asking questions. And right after this, oh, here's the great encouragement, right? Jesus leaves. But he says, I'm going to send you a counselor. I'm going to send you a comforter. Wait. Wait. And I confess to you, I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of waiting for him to come back. I'm tired of waiting for him to move powerfully through me. Maybe you are too. But that's his word. Wait, because it will come. It is a promise. By the way, Peter receives the promise not because he earned it. He does not receive it because he deserved it. But he receives it because God's not finished with him yet. Aside from Judas, is there any other disciple that betrayed Jesus as much as Peter did? And yet, Jesus has already met him in Galilee at the side of the charcoal fire and asked him three times if he loves him. And Peter was able to declare three times that he does. But still, there was something more. You see, there is the restoration that takes place, and then there's the infilling and the moving forward. So you might have experienced just the salvation, and you've seen the Spirit move through you a bit. You know, you've had some knowledge, and somehow you can teach and things like that, but you haven't really felt God's power come through you. Well, maybe you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we need that as a church, as a renewal. See, Pentecost is the power for the next chapter. Did you know we have a next chapter? Oh, you didn't know that. Okay. We have a next chapter. There, that's good news, isn't it? And it's God planned and God empowered. Somebody asked me, they said, well, how are we going to do that? I said, look, if we've discerned that it's God's will, it's God's bill. And he always pays his bills. He always provides for what's his will. And so if we need power for it, we ask for power. Give us the power and the ability to accomplish this. So we have gratitude and expectancy. So as we reflect on God's goodness, here are two dangers. Okay, and this section's just a little bit edgy. I've said that we need to look back. But if all we do is look backward, it's nostalgic. If we just think about former leaders, former victories, former seasons of blessings, remember, we should remember, but because remembering is biblical, right? But nostalgia becomes dangerous when it replaces faith. Nostalgia looks back, faith looks forward. So we begin honoring the past instead of learning from it so that we can move forward. We're preserving without expecting. You see that? See how that could be a danger? Yes, it's a good thing to remember. It's a bad thing to dwell only there. We must look forward as well. Remembering what was instead of also moving forward into what should be. If all we do is look backward, this is the edgy part. Nostalgia can become us writing our own eulogy. The goal is not nostalgia. The goal is gratitude, attitude, and expectation. Gratitude, attitude, expectation. Here's a warning for all: if all we do is look forward, oh, what do we got to do next to the church? Where are we going as a church? What's going to be? What does the Lord want us to do? If we do that without the foundation of what God's goodness has been in the past, that is also dangerous because we become consumed with what has not even happened yet. And that's where all of our thoughts and our energies and our planning comes from. And that's a dangerous spot to do it from here instead of here, to see where we should go in light of where we have been. We become so focused on what God has not yet done that we forget what He has already done. Because for Peter, he could trust the baptism of the Holy Spirit and standing and speaking powerfully because he knew the Christ before that. And he had a foundation to stand on. Jesus has been faithful in every chapter behind us, and we can trust Him with the chapters that still need to be written. I'm going to keep saying this until I believe it fully, until you believe it fully. He is not done with us yet. Say it. He is not done with us yet. One more time. He is not done with us yet. Amen. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're celebrating 100 years this year. He is not done with you yet. I don't care if you are still in junior high or high school. He is not done with you yet. It doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in. If now you're in a season of sickness and you wonder how many tomorrows you have, He's still not done with you yet. We should be a people that we know are not done, but that we will be. Because He is the one who finishes it. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. To complete it. Expectancy trusts Him with what remains once we have entrusted Him with everything that was. So that gives us that good foundation. What Peter did not know was what would come next. It's okay not to know what is going to come next, because Acts 1 sits between the restoration and the empowerment, between what God has done and what God is about to do, between gratitude and expectancy. It's okay to sit there for a bit. Not to live there, but to sit there for a bit, because we are waiting for something more, aren't we? We don't know exactly what our next chapter is or what it looks like. For some, it may be new opportunities for ministry. It may be the same ministry in a different place. As I look back on my pathway, it was a huge jump. I was actually forced into doing drama, and I found out that I was good at it because all the 14 places where I lived, I always acted a part so that I could be accepted. Deep down, deep down, I desired to be accepted and liked. And I knew I didn't have the time to be who I really was and maybe win people over. I didn't think there was anything good in me. But my Heavenly Father found me when I was 16. And I'm glad He sent the Spirit so I could recognize Him. But what that change meant was there was a series of processes. He didn't change me into the man I am today, the next day. It took Him a lifetime to do that. It took me a time to get into the drama. The drama morphed into a ministry. That ministry continued to change me as a man and as a person and in my confidence. But I would never, ever get up to sing in front of anybody. Well, oh, I could sing, but I wouldn't do it in front of anybody. I was afraid to embarrass the shower head. But now, for the sake of my Christ, who has gone ahead of me and been good to me in the darkest nights, I will sing of the goodness of the Lord. There are some things that some individuals here are afraid of. And it's right, it's okay to be nervous about it. You know, you don't know if you can step into it. You don't know, you know, am I fooling myself or is it really God? Just step into it. People will tell you if you're blessed in it or not. But sometimes if they don't tell you something, that's a confirmation too. Okay? So here's the conclusion. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Begin to remember, okay? But do it properly. Anybody know what's happening next year for this church? Let me remind you, 150-year anniversary. For Casey White Oak, I believe it's 75 for Casey Church of God, and the two came together. Even if you take the short form, 75 years? 150 years? There's a lot to look back on. There's so much to look back on that we've forgotten, and it's unrecoverable. But I have some files that I've been compiling for the last 4 years. I know who started the church. I know where it started. I know every pastor that's been here in that time. I've got pictures of the building as it was built. I've got all kinds of stuff, and I want more. So that we can look back and celebrate the people whose shoulders we stand on. Isn't that going to be a glorious thing? Do you see, when we look back, we can get excited about the future? He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't allow us to minister in this community to make us vanish. Because we're not finished yet. Second thing I ask you to do is begin to recognize the season that we are in. We're in that middle ground now. Because we've accomplished goals. Yeah, there are tufts of dirt where we failed, where we've fallen, where we may not have been faithful, but goodness has been running after this congregation all of that time. And so as we get here in this middle ground where we anticipate what God's going to do with us next, then we can say, goodness is not going to stop here. It's not going to stop running after us here. It's going to continue on with us in the future. Though we make mistakes, though we are failures, though it looks like we're on a downhill slide, that may be the launch into the great pool. Who knows? But no matter what comes, we will be His. Because Pentecost reminds us that ordinary people can become faithful witnesses in an extraordinary way for the sake of an extraordinary Savior. And this is the final prayer that I have. So my prayer is this, and I want you to pray with me. I'll say the prayer, but have your heart attached to Him. Lord, You have been faithful in my life and in the life of this church. Looking back, we can see it. And looking forward, we choose to believe it. If You are not finished with us, help us not to spend the rest of our lives as though You are. If You are not finished with me, help me not spend the rest of my life acting as though You are. Thank You for every chapter behind us. And thank You for every generation that carried the gospel before us. Give us gratitude. Give us expectancy. Give us vision and faith for the next chapter. Because Pentecost reminds us that we are just ordinary people who become extraordinary in the light of an extraordinary Savior. And we thank You for being that. And together we say, Father, you are not finished with us yet. Father, you are not finished with us yet. No, some of you didn't get it. Father, you are not finished with us yet.